All right, welcome to the Fryer Phil Show. A little bit of dirty laundry with Don Henley on the program today. And the reason I'm playing that is because you probably were expecting a little bit of dirty laundry coming out in that special podcast I'm talking about doing. The only problem with it is the second part that I'm going to do is all circumstantial evidence. So I want to make sure that what I say, you know, is accurate, but not made up. You know what I mean? I want it to be authentic, I guess. I'm at a loss for the words. But just stick around. You might find that one Thursday or Friday, a podcast pops up with some real good dirty laundry, as we talk about cyber bullies and other creepy people like that. Okay, I've got a great guest today. It's not another Dodger fan. It's a Padre fan. And I tell you what, he's another one of these young people that not only know their baseball, but they share their knowledge about the San Diego Padres with his own podcast. And it's called the Deep Fryer Podcast. That's why I had a deep fryer up on the Twitter the other day. Nobody got it. And his name is Javier. Welcome to the program, Javier.
Fryer Phil, how you doing? Thanks for having me.
All right. Well, you went to the game yesterday, right?
I did. I was there. I had a little too much fun. Still paying for it today, but yeah. As a matter of fact, I'm going to tonight's game too, so we'll see how I recover on Saturday.
Well, it should make for an interesting podcast. Why don't you tell the folks a little bit about yourself and how you started the Deep Fryer podcast, how you got the idea for the name. I love the name, Deep Fryer Podcast.
Yeah, honestly, the Deep Fryer podcast was a culmination of my love for baseball. One, I grew up in a baseball family, grew up loving the game, playing the game, and I just wanted to be a part of it any way that I could. You know, I'm getting a little older now, knees don't necessarily do the trick anymore, but, you know, still wanting to partake and enrich the community as best as I can. The name, the Deep Fryer, pretty funny. It's actually been my fantasy baseball name for the last 10 years. So naming the podcast was actually very easy. A lot of people say, like, oh, wow, you took some time. Like, as a matter of fact, I've been doing it that has been my fantasy baseball name for the last 10 years.
Wow.
How I thought, or how I initially started the podcast, in 2019, obviously that's when Tatis came up. That's when we got Machado's first year. There was really the tides were changing here in San Diego. And when the season was over, I was itching for more Padres content. And most of the podcasts out there, they stopped recording after the season ended. So, you know, November, December came along, and I just wanted to take in as much Padres content as I could. Nobody was doing it. I was sitting in my car driving to work one day, and I'm like, you know what? If I'm not getting it, let me create it. And one thing after another, talked to the girlfriend, bounced ideas, and she was 100% supportive of it. And I said, let's try it. Let's do it.
Fantastic.
Yeah. What I will say is I spend most of my time talking about the Padres, 50% of it. And then the other 50% of the time, I try not to make an ass out of myself. And I accomplish that 25% of the time. So give and take.
I make an ass out of myself a lot. But that's, you know, the Fryer film.
The Padres fan base is one of the most intellectual, invested fan bases in the entire league. So if you say something wrong, they don't like your take, they will let you know. But at the same time, if you're doing well, if you speak from your heart, they support you, they back you up, and they will ride with you. And that's why I personally not just love the Padres, but I love the Padres fan base. It's unlike any other.
What's really cool, and I don't know if they're doing it this year or not, is the fourth inning Twitter meetup. They do that by Section 101. They may not be doing it this year because of COVID, but years before, it was a great way to see a lot of people that are on Twitter and meet up with them during a game.
Yeah, I don't know if they're doing the meetup, but I did run into quite a few people yesterday. I ran into Charisma, ran into Eddie Dingle, hung out with him for a little bit at the tailgate parking lot. So it was a good time.
I'm glad you had fun. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what happened yesterday? The reaction of the fans, especially when they got four home runs.
That was a pretty, it was a win. It was a bit sloppy, you know, in the middle innings. But at the end of the day, a W is a W, right? It's a results-based business, and we got the result. We got the job done. Here's what I will say. After not being able to go into the stadium for, what was it, 505 days, something along those lines.
Right.
And the energy, right? Considering there's only maybe about 9,000, 10,000 fans in attendance, the energy in the stadium was phenomenal. It was fun. Everybody was so invested. You could just tell everybody was really happy to be there. From the game standpoint, it was exactly what we wanted it to be and a little bit more. You know, there's some tension, there's some highs, there's a lot of lows. Like I said, it was a sloppy win, but a win nonetheless.
Tim Hill.
In fact, I actually placed a bet with one of my friends who was going to hit the first home run of the Padres season. I actually chose Hosmer. Oh, he chose Myers. So I won the bet, but Hosmer and Myers going back-to-back was pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's cool, too.
Yeah.
The only person I'm really worried about on the team right now is Chris Paddock and how he's going to do when he comes out to pitch for the first time this season. You have any?
There's a lot to unravel with Chris Paddock. There's just a lot of layers there that we really got to start pulling back. You know, the sheriff, right? The image, the personality, all that's, you can't have that persona and not perform, right?
Well, right. When he doesn't perform, I don't call him the sheriff. I call him the mall security guard.
The mall cop, right? Yeah, right. There's been a lot of nicknames thrown around for that guy. Here's what I will say about Chris Paddock. When he's on, he's great. And a lot of people are probably going to hate this, but I actually do see a career for Paddock eventually coming out of the bullpen. Not necessarily that he needs to go there now. I think we still have to give him a shot as a starter and really give him an opportunity to lose the job, if that makes sense.
Right.
You know, he really has to lose that job or take the job back in a sense. But for right now, what I see, he's from the outside looking in a sense, right? You got Morejon, we got Weathers, we got Gore coming up eventually this year. So it's his job to lose. I do see him reinventing himself in the bullpen. The two pitch combo, fastball, changeup,
right?
It does extremely well out of the bullpen, right? We've seen that a lot with starting pitchers transitioning to the bullpen. We saw that with Pomeranz, right? Velocity up, everything else is more effective. Hoffman made a career. He bought himself a ticket to the Hall of Fame on a changeup. He had one of the best, most devastating changeups in the entire MLB history.
And I'm glad I was here in San Diego early enough to see Trevor Hoffman pitch and him reach his milestones. That's one of the great things for me personally. So, yeah.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of history. There's a lot of history within Padres, and Hoffman was, you know, like I said, those milestones. You know, we haven't had a lot of opportunities to cheer for good people, good ball team, good teams, good everything. But Hoffman, Gwynn, right, the 2016, the 2017, 2010 has always been, those are the highlights for at least in the last 20 years of my life.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. But back to Paddock, like I said, it's his job to lose. I think he's going to, he has to do it. And if he doesn't perform the first half of the season before the All-Star break, I genuinely think that he's just going to get pulled out.
Yeah, I think they've got too many options to go there. And the same things for Weathers as well. He's got to perform too, or he'll be back in the bullpen. No, it's not Weathers. It's Morahone, isn't it? Morahone is the fifth one.
Yes, so we got Morahone, Weathers, both coming out of bullpens right now. I mean, whether they're going to be the long mans, right, or the occasional starts here and there, just to kind of test them out. And again, we have Mackenzie Gore waiting in the wings. So, you know, who knows when he comes up, and when that happens, what does that do for the rest of the rotation? So it's going to definitely shake things up.
And ownership doesn't want to lose anymore. They didn't send out our fearless leader to make all those deals he did, you know, just to have another losing season with excuses. There's no reason we can't do well against most of the teams in the National League, as far as I'm concerned. If they keep playing like they're playing and they did yesterday, my big problem with the Padres forever and ever since I've been here is their inability to bat in runners in scoring position. It was nice seeing them do that yesterday.
Yeah, yeah. This is a powerful lineup. Literally probably one of the best teams the Padres have ever put on a field. And yeah, there's no, you know, the days are gone when you go into a series knowing that you're going to lose, and the highlight was going to be, well, how many runs are we going to get? Are we going to be able to score 10 in this series, right? You know, those days are gone, right? Where you don't necessarily know what the result's going to be, right? Where you're surprised right. when we get a win. Now I'm more surprised when we get a loss, right? I expect a win. Expectations are different. And AJ Preller did a phenomenal job over the last 3 years. You kind of seeing the plan come through fruition and really and seeing the product on the field is I cannot praise AJ Preller enough. He's done a phenomenal.
Oh yeah, he has, absolutely.
Totally, you know, making agrees. The calls and wanting to spend the money. I mean, you got to commend him.
Yeah, and he did a great job, and now the players have to say thank you to by playing good, by playing like they played yesterday. Maybe minus Tim Hill. I don't know what his problem was.
You know what? Maybe opening day jitters, maybe. You know, but yeah, he definitely. I mean, that was a pretty tough outing. But we saw what he did last year. Our lockdown stars here when he came over, and it was. Just, you know, it's too early to throw in the towel on somebody. But what I will say, yeah, he needs to figure it out, and figure it out quick, because we're going to need him down the stretch.
Yeah, and if he can't, well, there's the alternate site. And here comes Gore. You know what I mean?
Right.
So for the pitching staff, it's like big trial and error time now. You know, it's shit or get off the pot time.
Yeah.
And pitch the way you know to pitch. And if you can't do it, then we've got people in the wings that can pitch.
Absolutely.
And we're not going to just sit around and settle and say, oh, well, maybe he'll get better after the All-Star break, or maybe next year. You know, none of that shit. I don't want to hear any of that from anybody. Next year, later. No. What's happening now is these players are being tested, I think, by A.J. Preller and the ownership. And they've got to perform, and they did a great job yesterday. I was impressed. I got a little upset during the four home runs, but for the most part, it was a really good game, and I'm glad we squeaked in a win. It's always a bummer when you lose your home opener.
Right, right. Yeah, I saw some record. Somebody shared, you know, the Padres record on open day. I think we're like 10-6. Now I think we're 11-6. So, yeah, great outing, honestly. Like I said, it was sloppy right there in the fourth. Four home runs. You know, we know what happened, but we squeezed in the win, like you said. It was a good team win. And we did it without Tatis or Machado really contributing on the stat line. So it just goes to show how deep this lineup is. Goes to show how scary this team is. And every single team that comes to our stadium, comes to our hometown, they're going to expect the fight.
Right.
And they're just not going to walk out of here with, you know, taking two out of three every time. Those days are done.
And they have to realize that. The hat they gave away is really nice.
Oh, it was great. Yes, yes.
I tell you what, folks, it's like one that would be in the Padres store for $35. So I guess if you're a member and you're the only people allowed to come into the park, they get higher quality caps. But I'm fortunate I got one. A neighbor that lives up the street from me knows what I do, and he knows they collect caps and stuff. So he's a Dodgers fan, and his wife is a Padres fan. So they had no use for two caps. You know, he wants a Dodgers cap. He doesn't want a Padres cap. So they came over, knocked on the door, and said, "Here, happy April 1st, happy opening day." I thought that was pretty cool.
No, that's awesome. Yeah, that's very nice of them. Oh, you know, the hats are great quality, like you said. I guess when you only have to make 10,000 of them and not 40,000,
yeah,
maybe you invest a little bit more in the product, right?
I guess so. I don't know. I'm just pleased with it. Very pleased. I was kind of melancholy yesterday a little bit about not actually being there for the game, and the melancholy really came before the game, because we couldn't go to the street festival that would normally be behind the stadium before the opening day Padres game. And it just felt like, I don't know, I was sitting here and just thinking, you know, shouldn't I be someplace? And, oh, I can't be. They're not doing it. So that was a bummer. But the game lifted my spirits after that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What do you think of Will Myers going to number 5?
It might be his lucky number. Let's cross our fingers. And I think that was really nice of him to give up 4 and take 5. And make an agreement like that shows you what kind of person Will Myers is.
Absolutely. You know, the hashtag Cinco de Myers is, yeah, the hashtag Cinco de Myers is marketing gold. And we Padres better capitalize on that come May 5th.
Oh, yeah. They probably will. They're good about doing stuff like that. They're good. So what's some interesting stories or things you've covered on your podcast in the last few months? I'll let you do the talking since I don't have much voice.
No, fair enough. No worries.
And by the way, you have a really good voice too on the podcast and here. You would think you worked on radio.
I appreciate the feedback. No, that's amazing. I would eventually love to, you know, do it professionally and, you know, make some money off of it. But right now, it's 1,000% a passion project. It's blood, sweat, tears, all goes into it. And like I said, I just want to put out a good product, things that people would respect, right? When they listen to it, they buy in. And like I said, it's an opinion-based podcast. I'm not trying to do big analytics. I'm not talking about, you know, war, any of that. It's 1,000% opinion. But I also think I have a pretty objective opinion as well.
I think so, too, from listening to the podcast. I think you're hitting it right on the nail. You're fun to listen to because you don't make it too complicated. So even people that really don't know the game, you know, there are folks that know the game like an encyclopedia. But for folks that, you know, just go to the games and watch it, but don't really concern themselves with what the hell a war is and stuff like that, you make it easy for even a novice to understand what you're talking about. And that's one of the great things about your podcast and why you, the listener, should go listen to that as well. We'll give the website and his email at the end of the program.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that. Yeah, you know, don't overcomplicate it. You know, keep it simple is the name of the game in this business. Or I don't even want to call it a business because, like I said, it's profit from a, it's a passion project. But it is what it is, right? On my end, so one of the coolest shows, when I realized my podcast, I'm like, wow, I'm actually doing something. This is cool. So Alex Bentley from the On Deck series, he's a director, producer, former professional ball player, play on Team Israel. He reached out to me back in September of last year, 2020. And we're chatting back and forth online. And he's like, hey, I want to come on your podcast and talk about my show. And I'm like, wow, like, you want to come on my podcast? That, to me, was when I realized, wow, people are tuning in, people are listening. And it was incredibly humbling for one, for anybody to want to do that. Two, it was very, it gave me a sense of credibility. And that's when I knew I had something. From a branding standpoint, I think my podcast does pretty well from the branding, what stays consistent. But Alex Bentley, when he came on, we had a great conversation, really fun conversation. So if you guys haven't, if you guys want to just listen to it, I believe it's the September 28th episode of last year, On Deck with Alex Bentley. But he talked about his show. He talked about his experience playing professional baseball, talked about his experience living in another country. For now, Tatis is in the first three episodes of the On Deck series. So we got some pretty good insights into how that all came to be. On top of having some fun on podcast, but that for me is probably like the, at this point, has been the peak of my podcasting career so far. But you know, I'm actually most proud of my more recent episodes, just because I'm, you know, the more you do it, the better you get at it, right? The more comfortable you get behind a mic.
Oh yeah, I sucked. You know, in the beginning, and I was nervous, you know, doing this. I worked in radio before, so I'm not scared of a mixing board and a microphone and MP3 player. But it's just that little voice in your head that says, you know, are people going to really like this? And when they start listening, you see how many listeners you have for particular programs. It really boosts your I don't want to say ego. I think your confidence in yourself. So I completely understand getting better over time.
Absolutely, right? You know, I'm learning how to edit a little bit better. Learning how to just, you know, just operate from a day-to-day standpoint. So yeah, it's been very fulfilling, very hard at times. You question yourself a lot because, like you mentioned, we are our own worst critics. Just because, you know, yeah, you listen to your podcast over and over again, right? You listen to it before you share it, and then once you share it, you're like, wow, okay, I'm doing it. And then you go back and listen to it again once it's shared. So it's a pretty it's a long process, but it's a fun one.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, another question for you. I ask all my guests this. Could you give me one super duper memory from baseball since you started being interested in it? Something that was really cool.
Ooh, Interesting. That's a great question. Let's see. So I started playing baseball at a young age. Like I said, I grew up in a baseball family. My dad played baseball in Mexico. Didn't go far, but nonetheless played. He was a very big Angels fan. He was a huge Mike Socha fan. So remember the there was a exhibition game at Angel Stadium, and it was the Mexican team, Los Daileros. It's a Mexican professional team. I don't know if they're still around. They changed the name, to be honest. I don't really follow the Mexican leagues that much. But Los Daileros ended up having an exhibition game with the Angels. And so my dad was like, we have to go. You have to go watch this Mexican team. Let's do it. So I was 8 years old, I think, maybe seven. And so we came out. He ended up taking me to the game. And it was the most random night because, again, it was an exhibition game. The game didn't count. Oscar De La Hoya ended up throwing out the first pitch of all people. So, like, hey, let's just get a Mexican guy, you know, someone recognizable to throw out the first pitch.
Right.
One day after another, Oscar De La Hoya came over to where we're sitting. He was on the field. We're right at the edge. But he came over, and my dad started talking to him one thing after another. He ended up signing my baseball glove, which is the most random signature to get on a baseball glove, a boxer.
Right.
And then ended up getting a ball, ended up taking some pictures, and that was an interesting time. What I will say, my earliest memory of the Padres, I grew up in Riverside County, and we ended up doing a field trip to the beach. We did the science museum in Balboa. So we're on the bus on the way over to the science museum, and this is the 1998 when the Padres went into the World Series. So there was a huge banner on the 15 heading south. That said, congratulations, Padres, whatever. Like I said, I was maybe 7, 8 years old during this time, during this field trip. That is my earliest memory where I saw the Padres, recognize the name, recognize the logo, and just saw that. So that is my earliest memory as a Padre fan, right? I guess you could say it was my introduction to the Padres. Mm-hmm. Since then, I moved to San Diego, lived here off and on for a few years, for the last 12 years. Moved here when I was 18. I'm 30 now. So, it's been a fun ride. It's been an experience. It's been a pretty tough time, you know, getting behind some of those darker years. But at the same time, you support, and we are being rewarded now.
Oh, yeah. I was brought up on the Mets because I lived in New York State, fairly close to New York City. So I grew up with the Mets. And the first time I went, I was 6. And I went with my father. And that was the 1969 Mets. So I don't remember if it was a playoff or the World Series, one of the two. But I knew it was really important. And boom, there I was at Shea Stadium. What have you seen now as far as what we saw in spring training? What do you think the team has to improve on in the month of April, if anything?
You know what? There's a lot of themes right now going around the Padres, right? You know, the big contract for Tatis, right? The follow-up year.
Right.
I'm actually really focusing more on the management side. So how Jace Tingler manages through these injuries that we're currently facing. Seems like half the team is out right now with some sort of injury right now. So the theme or headline is really how we see Jace Tingler really managing this team. A lot of people have been saying it. We're not going to surprise any team. They know we're good. We're not going to sneak up on anybody. So I'd like to see Jace Tingler, his sophomore year as a manager, and how he manages the expectations, right?
Right.
We're expected to win. It's postseason or bust. Some would say it's World Series win or bust, right?
Yeah.
Not necessarily that we need to change anything, but I'm really focusing and leaning into Jace Tingler and how he's managing the team.
Yeah, and something to keep an eye on for sure, particularly seeing how he manages the bullpen.
Yes, exactly. You know, the bullpen and our starting rotation in particular, in bullpen, obviously, we saw what happened last year. You know, starting pitching, we lost Clevinger, we lost Lamet, went into the postseason, limping. And we got through that first series, and that was great, but you can't expect to win, doing bullpen days every day. You know, the bullpen guys need to rest, and
that's why we lost to the Dodgers. We had two pitchers, and that goes back to Chris Paddock and Morahone for what we were talking about earlier, because you have Lamet almost off the IL, and when he's off, he's going to be part of the rotation. And I don't know if they're going to either get rid of Paddock or Morahone. I guess it depends on their performance, or if he's going to go with a six-man rotation. It'll be interesting to see what Jace Tingler does when Lamet comes off the IL.
Yeah, 1,000%. I believe he announced yesterday that he is going to stick with a five-man rotation. But once again, when Lamet comes back, who knows, right? That might change the whole dynamic in terms of how he wants to operate. And even when Lamet comes back, I mean, let's be real, he's not just going to throw him out there and, hey, you're going to throw seven innings every time. Even though he's going to come back 100%, he's going to definitely, just manage his innings pretty. Manage his pitches. His progression as we get into the season. Because at the end of the day, if we expect to do anything, we need Lamet. Right? We have a starting rotation that is probably one of the best rotations in MLB history, not just MLB. It's comparable with, the Braves of the 90s,
With Tom Smoltz and all the Tom Glavin.
Yeah, that was a very very dangerous pitching staff, and we have that, it's going to be interesting, but we need Lamet in the postseason. So if he needs to slow and steady, slow and steady wins the race, let's do it.
The other thing that's made me really happy is how the media have embraced Tatis and how much attention it's brought to San Diego. I said on a couple of podcasts before this one, it's really nice that you're seeing Tatis, on the cover of stuff, and you see him, in graphics on the television and stuff, and people are a little bit more aware of San Diego, and we're not the bastard child of the Dodgers down here at the bottom of the state. We've got a beautiful stadium, we've got one hell of a team, and we've got a beautiful city for the most part. So with Tatis, it's like now San Diego exists.
Right. I think the fan base here in San Diego is getting the attention they deserve, right? And it's all because of Tatis and Machado and all the moves that Preller has made, and obviously brought a lot of attention, but it's a good reward. It's about time that the city and our fan base really gets the attention it deserves and the credit we deserve here in San Diego.
Okay. Anything you think the listeners or I need to keep in mind look for in this series and then the next one with the Dodgers?
Here's what I will say. Right now, if I see any Dodger fan in the stadium, right, those days are done, right, where Dodger fans take over our stadium and, Dodger Stadium South, as they try to call it or claim it. In terms of the Dodger series, I know it's only 8,000, 10,000 fans in attendance, but I want to see a sea of brown gold. So that's something I'm really going to look forward to, is really how the fan base leans into those Dodger series and how we really get behind this team and really make a statement. And then as far as this series go, to be honest, like I'm really excited to see Musgrove, Joe Musgrove, seeing him in the Padre uniform, pitching in front of his hometown. He had a great season last year, career year for him. Pitches look tight. They're great. He looks good. So I'm really excited to see how he does for game three.
Yeah, I'm kind of keeping an eye on him too. It'd be great if he could have a good outing, you know, and at least get qualified for the win. Because I think we're going to win games from the Dodgers. We're going to take them, you know. It's just, I really believe we're there. You know, everything is clicking with this team, and it's fantastic. Now, the last thing I want to ask you about is at the stadium, I noticed that there were a lot of people not wearing masks at the stadium. And did you notice that as well in your section?
Yes and no. So it's interesting, right? Because of social distancing. So, you know, because the pods are more than 6 feet apart, from my understanding. So yes and no, I saw a lot of people not wearing masks when they were in their pod, but not necessarily when they're walking around. So if you got up to go to the bathroom, if you got up to go pick up your food, everyone and came across was being responsible, right? When they were in, you know, community sections or areas. But you know, when you get into your pod, you know, you take off your mask, and yeah, it's all that. So
I just don't want the governor to see people sitting in the stadium without masks on and say, right, okay, you know, the cases of COVID have gone up now. You got to go back to your cardboard fans, you know, for a little while. I don't want that to happen. So that's my concern with the mask. All right, yeah. I'm going to let you go because I only go like about 40 minutes or so. Otherwise, yeah, people start getting bored. So thank you for all the information today, and everything you talked about was really good conversation, despite my voice. Now it's cracking like a 13-year-old in puberty.
I appreciate you having me on, Friar Phil. Great podcast. Love your takes. And, hopefully we get to share a game and partake in a game this year.
Hopefully we'll get back in there. All right, go ahead and give where people can find your podcast and your email.
So the Deep Fire Podcast, you can search it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor. That's my host. And I try to do an episode once a week, every Thursday, Friday, release date. So new content, fresh perspective, and honest to myself as possible. So that's what I try to do. Find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, iTunes. Okay, and far as the handle, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at the Deep Fire Podcast. And we're interacting with you guys all the time. So let's get connected.
That sounds good. All right. Thanks again for coming on the program. And I'll talk to you sometime during the season. If it gets interesting, I'll bring you back on to talk about what the interesting bit is.
Sounds great. Sounds great. Thank you so much, Fred.
All right. Now, one thing I want to say before we close the program. There's only 8,000 people in the stadium yesterday, and there's not a lot of foot traffic that goes around the area, you know, for people to make money with their restaurants and stuff. So what I'd like to see is Padres fans kind of go into those merchants and places where you eat good stuff like that and kind of support them in a way, because I feel bad for all the people that would make, you know, this was the time of the year for them to make money. And I don't think they're doing it. And there is some music, so I gotta shut up. You know what I'm saying? Be a patron and give those business people some of your business, and help everybody get through this COVID thing. All right, that's it. My voice is gone. Wrong music is playing at one point. I think that's the end of the podcast. I'm going to leave you with Sunset Grill from Mr. Don Hadley. Take care, stay safe, and keep it lit.